It's a long reading. I read a story the other day about two blind men who were both healed by Jesus. They appeared to me one day, and each was so excited to meet someone else who had been healed. They talked about the wonder of sight, the color of flowers, the glory of sunrises, the faces of children and grandchildren. They talked about the power of having seen the face of God. They were laughing and having a great time together when one of them said, "And do you remember how Jesus spit, made mud, and put it on your eye?" The other guy looked kind of stunned and answered, "Why, no, he just said, 'Receive your sight,' and I could see." The first man said, "Wait a minute, you mean he didn't use any mud?" "No." "Well, did he have you wash in the pool of Siloam?" "No, of course not. Who's ever heard of anything as ridiculous as mud in your eye washed off in a pool?" "Well," said the first man, if he didn't put mud in your eyes and have you wash in the pool of Siloam, you are still blind." "Blind, do you hear me? Because this is the way Jesus healed me. This is the way he does it." Then the second man became very angry. He shouted, "Mud? Who's ever heard of using mud? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You still have mud in your eyes. You're the one who is still blind." They got into a big argument. Their relationship was destroyed, and right then and there, they formed the first two denominations, the Muddites and the Anti-Muddites. So who is blind now? Jesus and his disciples passed a blind man. The disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" That's a natural question. When we encounter someone with a terrible illness, or someone whose business has failed, or someone who has gone through divorce, we ask that question, at least in our hearts. What happened? What did that person do? Was he a smoker? Did he drink too much? Did she take care of her business? We ask that kind of question in part because we feel more secure if we can figure out what happened. It isn't so much that we're trying to blame the victim, but perhaps if we can figure out what happened to him, we might avoid it happening to us. If cigarettes caused his cancer, we feel secure because we don't smoke. If her business failed because she wasted money, we feel secure because we are more frugal. If his wife divorced him because he had a drinking problem, we feel secure because we don't drink that much. "Rabbi, who sinned, this man and his parents, that he was born blind?" This is actually a religious question. You see, Jesus was teaching his disciples about spiritual matters, so it was natural that they would want to know how sin had caused his blindness. If they could understand sin and suffering, perhaps they could help people avoid suffering. "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" I wonder if the blind man overheard that question. If so, I'm sure it wasn't the first time he'd heard it. People in that time and place assumed that suffering was a result of sin. The blind man probably thought so too. He probably wondered what he had done wrong. He probably had a theory about some wrongdoing that had caused his blindness. "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Just imagine hearing that kind of comment day in and day out. It was bad enough being blind. Questions like that heaped salt on his wound and caused the man fresh pain every time he heard it. "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." And then Jesus healed the man. He spat on the ground and made mud with his spit. He put the mud on the man's eyes and told him to wash in the pool of Siloam. The man obeyed, and he was healed. He who had never in his whole life seen his mother's face could now see everything. But the local people, seeing the formerly blind man, were confused. They were accustomed to seeing him sitting along the roadside begging, and now he was walking around. They had seen the darkness in his eyes, but now his eyes were bright, even sparkling. They asked, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some of them thought it was he, but others thought it was a different man. Truth to tell, it was a different man, made different by his contact with Jesus. Jesus said that the man was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. The man's infirmity was an opportunity for God to demonstrate his grace and for Jesus to demonstrate his godly power. It was an opportunity for the people of Jerusalem to learn about Jesus, to believe in Jesus. We don't know how many people believed as a result of that miracle. We do know that the Pharisees did not believe. They did not want to believe in Jesus, and they refused to believe their own eyes. They tried to explain away the miracle. Jesus performed the miracle on the Sabbath, so they say that Jesus must be a sinner for violating the Sabbath. But when the Pharisees tried to get the formerly blind man to agree that Jesus was a sinner, the man responded, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." When they tried to argue with him, the blind man stuck to his guns. He concluded by saying, "If this man," meaning Jesus, "were not from God, he could do nothing." The Pharisees were furious and ran him off. And so I wonder how many of the local people believed because of this man's testimony. I wonder how many were blessed by his courageous witness. I wonder what happened from that day forward. I wonder about the power of his witness in subsequent years to those who had known him as a beggar. And I wonder how many people have been blessed through the centuries by reading this Bible story. I know that I am blessed by it today, because it reminds me of Jesus' power to transform lives. It seems to me that the years that this man spent in blindness, his terrible years, were the fertile soil from which millions of blessings have sprung. I would not have wished this man to be blind, but I would not have denied him the special opportunity that his blindness and his healing at Jesus' hands gave him. As I reflected on that, it reminded me of the difficult times in our lives that sometimes provide us with special opportunities to bless other people. We all experience difficult times. Sometimes we experience terrible times. When we bear our difficulties with faith, the people around us find themselves blessed by our faith, blessed by our courage, and blessed by our grace under pressure. Our terrible times can be fertile ground for those for whose blessings spring, blessings with which we can bless those around us. The truth is that sometimes in our lives, we all face adversity. It might be illness, might be loss of a job, it might be divorce, it might be the death of a loved one. There are so many possibilities. The point is that at some time, we all have to deal with trouble. It's part of life. When that happens, we have to decide how to handle it. We have choices. We can let our troubles overwhelm us, but they don't have to. We can decide to face our troubles with the kind of courage that the formerly blind man used to face the hostility of the Pharisees. Believing in Jesus, believing that God is with us, believing that God will help us. If you do that, if you face your troubles with faith in God, faith that God will help you, I guarantee that your witness will be a blessing to your family, to your friends, to your church, to your community, and ultimately to yourself. I remember a woman like that. Her name was Marge. She was a member of a congregation that I served before Bethany. Marge had much to give thanks for: children and grandchildren, a home, food on the table, a loving sister, and many friends. But Marge had much to be bitter about, too, if she had chosen to be bitter. Her husband had died far too young. Two of her children had died before her. Her health wasn't good. Her hearing was so poor that her sister, Lucille, repeated my comments and questions to her. I visited her several times during the time that I served that congregation. Whenever I visited her, it was she who lifted my spirits. It was she whose faith brightened the room. Marge's faith in God and her love for people kept her positive. It made her a blessing to all who knew her. She died several years ago, but the memories of her faith and courage and grace continue to bless me. She left a legacy of blessing that continues to bless all who knew her, a legacy that will continue to bless her children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren for decades to come. Now, let me ask you to consider this. Don't you think that Marge was blessed as well? In the end, wasn't she the one most blessed by her faith? She blessed lots of people, but above all, she blessed herself. The next time that you face serious difficulty, and there certainly will be a next time, keep in mind that God is with you. Keep in mind that God will help you. And keep in mind that if you will face your trouble with faith and grace, your trouble will become fertile soil out of which blessings will grow. Blessings for your family, blessings for your friends, for your church, for your community, and ultimately, blessings for yourself. My prayer for you is that God will bless you abundantly, in good times and bad, through thick and thin, in every circumstance. My prayer for you is that you will bear prosperity with grace and adversity with faith.